Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Hey, what's going on? So good and so glad that you're jumping in with us today, whether it be live on Soap. Come on, live on Zoom, people. Can we get excited today? Praise hands, clap hands, whatever we got to do. It is a good day. And hey, if you're watching a little bit later with us, YouTube, any of our platforms, podcasts, whatever your outlet is, I'm just excited you're pressed into the Word today. We are amped up to really just lean into the words of God and what He has to speak to us and what He wants to challenge us in and encourage us in. So I just ask we come with open hearts, open minds, ready to receive from Him. So let's pray together and dive in. Father, I thank You that by the Holy Spirit You're here with us and You are unpacking this text word for word, unpacking it. So God, I just ask, give us the nuggets, the gold within the text. Lord, help us find joy, help us find peace, find contentment, find strength, all of these things inside of You. We ask this, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right, we're going to be reading Philippians chapter 4 today. I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible translation. Again, I'm kind of like a broken record with this, but whatever translation you read is the best one because you're reading it. So I just let you know in case you want to follow along word for word. But if not, your NIV, NLT, King James Version. Come on, do we have any New King James or King James Version people here today? Man, it's the OGs. The OGs right there. But hey, whatever translation you read is best. We're just excited to be pressing in the Word with you today. So let's check it out. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, "So then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and my crown in this manner stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of the co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, is there any moral excellence? And if there's anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly because once again you are renewed care for me. You were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content. Whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need, I am able to do all things through Him who strengthens me. Since you did well by partnering with me in my hardship, and you Philippians know that in my early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my needs several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphras what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Wow. So many verses. So many verses. Look, we got three verses in just one message because they're so good. This is one of those chapters. It's one of those chapters. I think if you walk around Hobby Lobby long enough, you'll see the pretty much Philippians chapter four, start to finish, in just wall art alone. Philippians chapter four is a beefy, beefy chapter. But it's a great chapter. And there's so many great truths inside of it. So what I want to do is I just want to take a couple pieces and we'll take a couple portions and we'll just see where it takes us today. But I want to let you into my life by way of introduction really quick. So there is coffee mugs and wall art. You know, that's right. There is something that let's just say I loathe doing. And you know, we all have to suck up and do the fun things. Yeah, I often talk about my little baby boy who in over a year of life just doesn't sleep, and it's okay. And there's some things you just gotta suck it up and get it done, right? But there is one thing in my life when I say it drives me mad. I don't know what it is. I just every time when it comes to doing it, it drives me absolutely insane. And that is returning something. I cannot stand doing returns. It drives me wild. If I buy a shirt and it's too small, I now have motivation to lose weight. Is anyone else with me in that? Hey, if I buy pants that are too big, it is now a gift to someone else when I see them. I don't know what it is. I just cannot stand going back to the store and giving back what I had. And even some of the folks in my life, they look at me, they're like, that is one of the stupidest thing I've ever heard. But it's just me. I don't know what it is. I don't like doing it. Even when I buy the wrong thing, it's like, well, nope, we're gonna hold on to that now. That is ours. We are going to hang on, eat more donuts. No, I'm not gonna eat more donuts to make the pants fit. but this is just for me. I can't stand returning things. So recently, however, I thought, you want to know what? I'm going to be a more disciplined person. I'm going to make myself do something that just drives me a little crazy. And I decided I was going to go and return something. Be proud, Fusion Church. I decided to grow. And I show up to the store. I've got my item in hand. And I go up to the desk and I said, hey, I'd like to make a return. Here it is. And the woman looked at me. She said, well, we don't do returns on this. And I stared at her. And all I could think was, you know what? I should have stayed home. I knew it. I knew I never should have came. And I looked at her. I was like, man. And I shared like the story with her. I was like, man, I got to be honest with you. I hate returning stuff. I was like, normally we have a system in our life. And I was like, if a return happens, like, you know, usually Shannon does it, but I'm doing it this time. And I give her the whole story. And she just laughs. She's like, well, thank you for the story, but it still doesn't change anything. We can't return it for you. And I was like, man, please. I live a little far in like a little more remote area. And it was a drive to get here. Can we do something? And she's like, yeah, of course. I can't return it for you, but I can exchange it for you. And I thought, well, at least I can get it in the size that I need it in. And everyone said, amen. But I find so often in our lives, when it comes to, let's just say, the situations that we face, let's say the circumstances, the boss, right? Sometimes we want to return the boss. Can I send the boss back? That one coworker that drives us mad. Can I return the coworker? Some of us, it might just be our children that's for some odd reason never clean up after themselves. Can I return them? And all the moms said, absolutely not. Hey, many times it's not a return, but it's an exchange that we live through inside of our lives. And I want to check out verses 6 through 7 because I think sometimes we have situations in our life, we have people, we have whatever it may be, and we want to return or get them out of our life or pray the situation out of our life. But I want to encourage you today, not everything is meant to be prayed away. Not everything is meant to be shoot under the rug. Not everything is meant to be thrown in the trash. But so many times it's meant to not be returned, but be exchanged. So Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7 says this: don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, give thanksgiving and present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds in Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, present your request to God. I'll tell you what, I think some of us probably have plenty to worry about today. If we created a worry list, we would probably first think, well, I'm not worried about much. But if we really started diving in a little bit, we probably all have something we're worried about. Whether it be for some of us, the health report, others, it might be the bills that are piling up. We may have some stuff we're worried about. Well, I want to tell you, even inside of our worries, the situations of life, again, we can't always return them, but we can exchange them. How do we exchange them then? We do the exchange of our worry, we do the exchange of our situations through prayer. And I'm encouraged today that we have a God who not only hears us, but answers us when we pray. And maybe that's a note for you today. I myself can actually exchange my problems to the Lord, because on the cross called Calvary is where he paid for me as his son, as his daughter, to have peace which surpasses all understanding. So just my first note for today, my first little point is this: peace in every problem. Peace in every problem. Some of us might be facing problems today that we never thought we would have years ago. We might be sitting here and thinking, where in the world did this come from? I never thought I would be in this situation, right? I've never sat down when I'm counseling a couple that's on the verge of divorce. And whenever I sit down with them, I've never had them sit there and say, yeah, on our wedding day, I just really thought I would be here, right? I've never seen someone that is getting a medical report that is very unfavorable sit there and say, yeah, you want to know what? When I was 18, I was going off to college. I kind of figured this was going to happen, right? In so many of these things, we never see them coming, but we can have peace in each and every one of these problems. And I'm encouraged by that, because what it tells me is I don't have to sit here and figure out the problem. I very simply have to go to my God, and I have to turn the problem over to my God. So it says, don't worry about anything. And for some of us, when we think about anything and worrying about anything, we have to realize that in the Greek, the language in which this was written in, where it says anything, when we translate it literally means anything. I'm so encouraged by that, because it tells me anything that I'm worried about, anything that I'm stressed about, anything I have going on inside of my life, I can go to Jesus about, because he cares for me. And he says, will you turn it over to me? Hey, and in all of our stresses, all of our anxieties, all of our worries, through prayer and petitioning, we present them to God. What is prayer and petitioning? Prayer is very simply this, church. It is communication with God. It's sitting down and giving him a heartfelt prayer. It's sitting down and saying, Lord, I'm going to give you the real me. You know, and I want to encourage some of us today, because maybe for yourself, prayer is a pain point for you. Maybe prayer is a point where I really have to grow in my prayer life. I want to encourage you. Hey, we all got to pray. We all have to pray more, right? We all have to grow in our prayer life right now. We all have to make the extra push, the extra effort to communicate with God more. But I want to encourage you inside of this. There is no quality of words that makes God enjoy the prayer time better. And I'm going to break that down a little bit for us, because maybe some of us have grown up in church our entire lives. Come on, do we have any, like, 8 years old in the pew on a Sunday night people inside of the house right now? Or is there anyone that, hey, you want to know what? When the preacher was preaching, you knew for a fact you were going to be there for 3 hours. Come on, my people. Listen, and one of the things I realize when I speak to folks who grew up inside of church environments, who grew up inside of this, they feel as though prayers have to be made up of certain words, structures, this, and like it has to be almost like a script that we're reading. I want to tell you, God doesn't want the script. He wants your heartfelt prayer. He wants real from you. He wants authenticity from you. He just wants the real version of yourself, bringing the real problems you're dealing with. And I'm encouraged that God doesn't want a phony version of me. Another way I'll look at it is like this. God isn't going to bless the fake version of yourself that you want to be. God is going to bless the authentic version that he created. And that's the person he wants to meet with. He doesn't want to meet with you with a mask on, where it's like, oh, praise the Lord, Father, everything's good. And he looks at you and he sees how troubled you are. What he wants you to do is pull the mask off and say, God, I don't like this right now. I'm stressed beyond my mind. And I'll tell you what, and I love what's going on in our Zoom chat. Sometimes prayer is a rant. So sometimes you got to throw a couple things and let it be. Sometimes you got to sit there and you have to talk to God and you really got to level with him for a second. And I think some of us have to kind of change our theology around this because God is not intimidated by our angsty prayers. God actually invites us into his throne room and says, will you approach me? Will you come to me how you are, weary and heavy burden? I will give you rest. And I always find myself, whenever I go in frustrated, upset, whatever it is, God has a way of taking the request that I bring to him, and he has a way of turning it around and giving me peace because suddenly my mindset starts to change. The way I look at it starts to change. And I realize that it's not all about the situation, but so often, it's about him wanting to bring breakthrough to someone, something, and I have to change the way that I see it because then suddenly the cross isn't as heavy as I bear it, right? So the peace of God surpasses all understanding, will fill us, it'll guard our minds and guard our hearts as we continue to turn things over to him so we can have peace in every problem. When we turn over the worries, the anxieties, when we turn over all the stresses to him and say, Lord, will you do with it that only you can do? I want to say, make prayer your first response, not your last resort. Make it the first thing you do, not the last thing you do. And inside of your own prayer life, as you continue to unpack, as you continue to grow in your prayer life, we all have to do that. I think we can all sit here and admit, we could all sit here and agree, we all need to grow in our prayer life today. But inside of our prayers, inside of our relationship with God, make it the first thing we do, not the last. And I would also even dare to say, hey, in your own prayer life, don't be afraid to look at God and say, I don't know what to say. Holy Spirit, will you teach me to pray? God, will you teach me how to pray? Will you teach me how to communicate with you? Will you teach me how to have a relationship with you that is deep and both wide? So we can have peace in every problem. How do we have the peace? We pray, we meet with God, we sit down with him, we create intentional time. And I even dare to say, hey, to my people who are like me, I'm a big podcaster. I don't know if I got any podcast people in the house right now. I'm a podcast junkie. I never stop listening, but it's like all day, every day. But I gotta tell you, when I get in the car, I love most people. I will do a phone call in the car here and there. That's my Jesus time. I'm praying when I get in the car. Why? Because I've seen the way you drive, and I need and I need to pray. And no shade towards anyone in particular, but there's sometimes when someone has a Fusion bumper sticker and they cut you off the way they cut you off, you gotta pick my jaw up off the floor sometimes. I was like, y'all, you almost killed one of the pastors. My gosh. So, but I pray in the car. That's when I meet with Jesus. And I sit down and I said, God, these are my problems. These are what I have going on. Lord, will you give me wisdom? Will you give me what I have? I would just dare to say, on your drive to work today, if you're driving to work, shut the radio off. You don't need to listen to the sermon. You're sermoned out, right? You don't have to call the friend. The friend will be there tonight, I promise. Hey, take some time. Talk to your best friend. Communicate with Jesus. Ask him what's on his heart. Give him what's on your heart. And watch the peace of God that surpasses all understanding fills you. So you can have peace in every single problem. The next thing is this, contentment in every circumstance. You can be content in every circumstance. Verses 10 through 12 says this, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly because once again you renewed your care for me. You were in fact concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I've learned the secret of being content. Whew. How many of us today might need a little more contentment? Haimavish may need to get a little more in the okay state of happiness and satisfaction, right? And I want to say inside of contentment, contentment in and of itself isn't comfort, right? I don't always feel comfortable when I feel content. Contentment says I have peace and joy no matter what. No matter what I have and no matter what I don't have. And the Apostle Paul right here inside of this moment, what he's facing is and he realizes that throughout his ministry he had and he didn't have. And I think I can relate, and you could probably relate inside of your life too. I can think of the moments where I ate good and I didn't eat good. And I can remember the times when I was laid off from the job or when I had the job. I can remember the moments when the Christmas bonus was big, and I remember the moments when there was no bonus at all. And I think we could all sit in that spot and say, I know what it was like to have an abundance, and I know what it was like to have lack. And I found contentment in all things because I found Jesus in all things. You see, contentment is not happiness or just simply happiness and satisfaction. Contentment is simply, Lord, I trust you with my life. Lord, you're going to give me joy inside of this as I continue to find my purpose inside of you. So, in our contentment, it's not always about sitting inside of our comfort zone, but instead it's about finding Jesus in the middle of the storm. Instead, it's about finding Jesus in the middle of whatever it is I have going on. And I'm going to be content in every single circumstance because I have him and he has me in every single circumstance. The secret, as Paul would say, the secret of being content isn't the circumstance itself, it's not favorable situations. As I counseled someone recently, and we had a great conversation, they said I could share this in sermon illustrations. They told me as soon as they get onto the night shift of their job, and I was like, man, you are a special individual that you want to get onto the night shift. And they said, I cannot stand going to work at 6 a.m. every day. And I was like, high five. You start me at six. I'm good. Put me in. Right. And as they're sharing this, they're like, man, I really want to start on the night shift. I want to start at four. I'm like, all right, I'll be praying for you. But everything for them, their contentment, their peace, their joy. And we even unpacked this together. They said, yeah, it's all banked in that though. It's all in that. I want to switch to this. And I said, man, wouldn't it be great to find Jesus inside of the day shift too? Wouldn't it be great to find God's purposes inside of it? Hey, the circumstance may not be favorable, but please hear me. God is still inside of the circumstance, and you could still have favor from God in an unfavorable situation. You could still have grace from God, even though it doesn't feel graceful in the moment. And that's where our contentment comes in every single circumstance that we live in. Inside of this, and kind of funny as I was bringing up Hobby Lobby wall art earlier. I was walking around my mother-in-law's house not that long ago, and on the wall there's this piece of art, and it says, "Gratitude turns what you have into enough. Gratitude turns what you have into enough." And I thought, man, if that ain't the best Hobby Lobby phrase I've ever read, and everyone said, "Amen." Gratitude turns what you have into enough. And as I was reading that, I stopped and. How I put this, I'm not the deepest person in the world. I'm really like a bullet point, bottom line kind of guy. I love my one-liners. You know, we can find depth in things. But when I see wall art, I keep going. You know, I hear about and this is such an incredible thing, right? How Imago Dei was born inside of our church, the name of it. And Pastor Danielle shares she was in a store and saw it, and. I that's deep to I'm just not that person. I just see it and say that looks really cool and I just keep going. And that's who I am, right? So I stopped and I'm looking at my mother-in-law's wall art. Gratitude turns what you have into enough. And I stopped and I started thinking, wow, I need to find gratitude in the things it is that I'm experiencing right now. I need to find gratitude in the stresses. I need to find gratitude in the moments because how many of us, I think we'd all agree, how many of us know that no matter what's going on, stress is always going to keep coming. Yeah, no matter what we have going on, there's always going to be something happening, something coming at us. But contentment, I think is so deeply rooted in that phrase. Gratitude turns what we have into enough. If I get grateful for the things that I have, if I get grateful that God is inside of the storm with me, it starts to turn everything I have into enough. Gratitude says, I value what I already have. I'm not just looking at what I don't have. So when we start thanking God for the things we have, come on, some of us just have to thank God for the hot water inside of our showers today. I'm telling you, I am always grateful when I get in the shower and that thing is piping hot. Where are we at? Where are we at, people? Because if you like your cold shower, be blessed, but not me. I want a piping hot shower. And every time I feel that warm water, I say, God, thank you. Lord, I love this. Lord, I'm so grateful that the tube of toothpaste isn't empty where my people at. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that my coworker that sits so close to me put deodorant on today. Come on, where are you at, people? Talk to me, Fusion Church. We got to get grateful for the things around us. And when we start getting grateful, it turns what we have into enough. It's contentment. So we have peace in every problem, contentment in every circumstance. And finally, as we close together, strength in every season. Strength in every season. I just want to talk to the weary hearts for a second, because I know. I feel like every person here has been there before, where the wonderful bill collector, the postmaster general, just keeps he loves our address for some reason, and he keeps reminding us that we owe the hospital bill. We know. You don't have to send me a letter every 2 weeks. I know I owe. I know how much I owe, right? Maybe for some of us, it could just be a work situation. It could be a family relationship. It could be that spouse that we've just been praying for. It could be the child we've been praying for. And we need the strength in every season, the strength to keep on going. And I want to say, you can have strength in every season. You can. And even when you start to feel weary, even when you start to feel beaten down, I want to tell you, God wants to give you more strength and a renewed strength today. As it says in verse 13, it says, I'm able to do all things through him who strengthens me. You see this right here, and I don't want to misapply the text outside of its meaning, right? Its meaning is when Paul was talking about whether I had abundance or whether I had lack. It doesn't mean you can do anything in your life. Please hear me. What this verse is really talking about is God will give us, by the Holy Spirit, divine strength for faithful living. It's divine strength for faithful living. It's living for Jesus no matter what it looks like. It's having the strength to keep on going so we can give glory to God in all circumstances, so we could show the world and show people his goodness no matter what it looks like inside of my life. It's strength in every season. It's the capability of hanging on and doing what it says in Colossians that, hey, I am going to keep on laboring because in due time, my good work, what I'm doing, will produce a harvest. And I think even some of us, we have kids that are far from Jesus. And I want to share with you, if you keep on, if you have the strength to keep on loving them, the strength to keep on encouraging them, the strength of building them up inside of Christ, to show them, hey, by the way, and one of my favorite things ever, and this I do this with everybody, hey, can I just pray for you? Is that okay? Like, I know you don't believe in God, but I do, and I think we could just agree. Can I just pray for you? I do that with, listen, the amount of atheist friends I have. I go and talk to them. Yo, could I just pray for you, man? Like, you got some stuff going on, and I want the strength. I want the strength that God is giving me to be imparted onto their life, so they can know that there's a God that loves them. There's a God that cares for them. And wants their heart, wants their life, wants to give life to them so they could have just a little bit more. And that more is that relationship with Jesus. Strength in every season. It's divine enablement for faithful living. One thing I'm encouraged with as we come to a close is that God does not always remove our problems. He doesn't always take them from us. And please forgive me in this. But I'm an individual that has no problem. this might sound bad. I got no problem, though, praying people out of lives. I got no qualms. I believe, this is just me. I believe that we can give through influence, love, grace, and mercy, no problem. We can give those things if we have influence. But if someone is influencing us in a negative way, that's when I start saying, Lord, Lord, I think we need to change circles, right? We need to change some groups here. We need to change some friendships, and we got to start make some adjustments. And we'll let them see our testimony rather than letting them influence us, and maybe we can start influencing them. However, God does not remove every problem in our life. He doesn't take every problem out of our life. Instead, so often he leaves us in some of our problems, which is why you've been asking God the same thing for so long. And many times he's not looking to change the problem, he's looking to change you inside of the problem. And many times we're asking God for an external answer, but then he's saying, I put an internal answer inside of you. And it's the strength that the Holy Spirit is giving you. So we can have that strength in every season. You see, I don't want to pray something out of my life that God is using to shape and mold me in a moment. Instead, I want to say, Lord, if these things aren't going to change, will you give me strength to go through them so that I can live for you and point people to you in the middle of it? I'm reminded so often of Mary and Martha and the story of Lazarus, if you're familiar with it inside of the New Testament. Jesus received word that Lazarus was sick, and Jesus knew that Lazarus was actually going to die. The sickness was going to lead to death. And when he got the news, waited where he was for 2 days. He didn't hit the road, as probably many of us would. If I found out a friend of mine was sick and going to pass, I'm on the road, right? That's rubber meets the road. I'm gone. However, Jesus had the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, had the insight of the Father, and sat there for 2 more days. And this is the same God that we saw heal a young girl just by speaking a word, and the young girl was healed inside of her house. So Jesus could have just spoken a word and Lazarus would have been healed. Yet Jesus hung out for 2 days and then finally went to go visit Lazarus. And while he was on his way, Lazarus died. And he gets there and he's confronted by his sisters, Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha. And look at him and said, but Lord, if you were only here, you could have prevented this. God, where were you? And maybe that's some of us today. God, where are you? Where are you in the middle of this? And Jesus looks at them and he says, this certainly will not end in death. This happens so you could see the glory of the Father. And I think for many of us today in the situations that we're facing, you're going through it so you can see the glory of the Father in your life, so you can see God show up. Don't grow weary in the prayers. Keep on travailing for it. Because Jesus knew that Lazarus was going to be raised from the dead. Jesus knew that he was going to walk out of the tomb. Jesus knew that they're going to be unwrapping Lazarus in just a few hours. Yet still, he did not remove the problem. Instead, he became the solution in the problem. And that solution was him, his presence, his healing, his guidance, his mercy, his grace. He did not change the fact that Lazarus died, but he brought a resurrection to Lazarus' life. And maybe for some of us, that's the word today, that we have to embrace the resurrection that Jesus brings to our life. Embrace the life that he brings to us. When he shows up, he's like, let me put my arm around you. Let me carry you through this. Because I think so often for us, and maybe you're with me, when Jesus is using something to shape and form and mold me, often I want to push it away. Anyone with me? Shape me another way, Jesus. Many times God is shaping my patience. That's usually what, I often know my patience is usually what's being worked on. It is. When I say this, and I don't make, I know I crack jokes, but I'm not joking. My patience is horrible. You spend enough time with me, you know, it's terrible. The only place I have grace and patience in is when I go to a restaurant because I worked in a restaurant for so long. And the servers, I'm like, nah, they got 18 tables and I see them dripping sweat. If it takes a while for the food, it's gonna be okay, right? Every other place in life, if I'm waiting in line, oh, forget about it. Oh my gosh, so I can't stand Disney World. I'm going on vacation to wait in line for 7 days. But anyway, hey, we many times pray things out of our life that God is using as a right, if you're going to write something down, as sanctified suffering. It's sanctified suffering. So what do I mean by that? Sanctified, and this comes from Oswald Chambers, an incredible, incredible, incredible pioneer of the faith. Sanctified suffering is this. When God uses and puts, or uses and allows situations in our life to grow us and groom us. And the suffering itself is actually ordained by Him. So we can, it doesn't mean He made the situation happen, but He's not going to change it by, snapping His fingers. Instead, we're in it and He allows it to form us, He allows it to mold us. And I'm grateful for the moments that was sanctified suffering for me because Jesus, please hear me, Jesus didn't put Lazarus in the tomb. But he didn't stop him from going in the tomb. But he also had a resurrection in mind for Lazarus. And I think so often in our situations in our life, we just don't want Lazarus to go in the tomb. But we have to allow those things to happen. We have to allow the sanctified suffering to mold our hearts, to mold our minds, to craft us into the image of Jesus so that the resurrection can come and he could show up inside of our lives. And then we could sit there and say, God, I can't believe you showed up in this way. Lord, I am amazed that you came through and did the impossible. This only, right? This only could have been you, God. So I want to encourage you today that you can have peace in every problem. You can have contentment in every circumstance and strength in every season. And many times, as all of this comes into play, as we look at all these things, prayer is one of the most important catalysts to get there. When we sit down with Jesus, we meet with Jesus, we allow God to speak to us as we speak to him. I want to encourage you, pray today. Pray today. Because if you need strength, it's available when you meet with God. If you need contentment, he'll help you find it inside of him. And if you need peace, exchange those problems for peace. Doesn't mean they're going to go away, right? We may just have, right? I think it's even prophetic for some of us. It doesn't mean the problem's going to go away, but the size of the problem will change. In the same way, I exchange a wonderful, wonderful shirt for a new size. The size of the problem will change when you meet with him and begins to give you peace that guards you and fills you, and your heart and your mind finds Jesus. Can I get a good amen from everybody? Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful that we have your goodness. God, so often it's not about the things that we see, but the unseen inside of you. Lord, I do ask that you help us find peace, contentment, and strength in you today. Lord, that we would have more of you today. God, that we wouldn't be focused on the carnal things of this life, that we wouldn't be, come on, maybe I'll speak my own life, so obsessed with our own opinions and perspectives, that God, we would have a new one, a new perspective, and one that comes from heaven as we meet with you. God, I just pray, give us, your church, a spirit of prayer today, that the spirit of prayer would fill us, that it would help us in all of our times in need. And Lord, I just pray that that peace that surpasses all understanding fill each and every individual that is so hungry for it. And God, I won't pray that every problem disappears, but I just pray that we can all find you in the middle of the situation. Because if we find you, I know we have all the answers. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. All right, folks, I love you so much. Hey, happy Thursday, and you have a great day.